Welcome to Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Wordsmithing. Over the years, occasionally people say to me, you're a wordsmith. And that feels good. I feel like, wow, I've got some crafty thing going on. It sort of puts it in a certain stature. But then the other evening, I was having dinner with a poetry friend, and I read one of my new poems, as poets are wont to do, like, hey, do you want to hear my new poem? And I heard his, and he heard mine, and I'll read the first stanza. It's called Shapeshifting. It starts, big pharma, big tech, big ag, big box, big brother, big deal, big shot, big time, bigot. And to that, he said, oh, you're a wordsmith. But this time, it struck me in a way that I do think of wordsmithing, so that's what got me to want to talk about this, that it's like a blacksmith. It's just an everyday tinkering, crafty kind of thing. And to follow the metaphor, with the tools, I'm just banging away at the words and see what comes out. Now, I did not sit around and think about the bigot thing. That came to mind while doing it. So that to me is like the muse or the literary spirit guide or just the spontaneousness that happens while writing, which is one of my favorite parts about writing. And then the other part is sort of in the spiritual realm, loose muse and guidance, there's the crafty side, which is studying the words and taking the time to shape the words and shape the writing and all that, and just keep banging away on it. And it's a daily thing. So I have different modes of wordsmithing sometimes it feels like a lofty, this is going to be preserved for eternity kind of writing. And then other times it's just the daily news. And other times it's just what's going on in that day with nothing, no sense of, loftiness to it. Very, very just reporting about what's going on in the world. And I try to make that, especially with the poetry, kind of a casual, sometimes casual news kind of thing, which is somewhat what the Beats did. They took a lot of the educational, romantic era poetry, which is very formal and structured and sort of lofty, and then the Beats made it much more everyday, casual, walking down the street, and I see this, and I see that, and I smell this, and I touch that, and it's kind of a stream of consciousness. So on the one hand, the wordsmithing is like, crafting a beautiful piece of art, and then on the other hand, it's like an oil change. It's functional, and it gets you around, but it's more mundane, and you got to check the fluids, check the belts, listen to the sound, the rhythm, the feel, the logic. Then there's also, along with that, metaphor, checking the fluids and the belts. A lot of times I check the etymology to see what the word mean. I look at the contemporary usage, lingo that's popular nowadays. Sometimes do that to kind of appeal to the people's understanding in the common vernacular. And sometimes that fits with the context too. So a lot of writing, and whether you're gonna reflect the current times, you want to keep up with the lingo and what's going on in different phrases. And then also you can, on the other hand, you can get too caught up in the lingo and too cliche and too trendy, just spitting back the phrases that have been spit back. I read a lot of articles, or I think there's a lot of writing with that, where there become these catchphrases, and those become the code words for, like, oh yeah, everybody knows what greenwashing is, or everybody knows what renewable energy is, and all these phrases that become meaningless until you study what is actually being said or what people are actually doing. And then there's an even deeper layer. Like, I'll cite again Stephen Newcomb's work with the doctrine of Christian discovery and domination and dehumanization. He's studied the text going back like 500 years in the original Latin texts and discovered, no pun intended, that the basic MO has to do with domination. So that's a deep study into the language to see what is going on in the different guises. Language can, and wordsmithing can help to elucidate and enlighten, and it can be used detrimentally as in news headlines and advertising and manipulative language that lulls people to sleep and deceives them and become catchphrases, and that eventually messes with the mind. And to the point where, you know, a lot of times people literally do not know what they're talking about. And even with the English language, as I've mentioned, the letter A comes originally from the picture of an ox, and the letter B comes originally from a picture of a house. So that when we say alphabet, actually, what to be accurate, you tell a little kid you're learning the ox house. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what does that mean. But what does alphabet mean? That's Greek, alpha beta. But what is an ox house? And why are we speaking English? Why are we speaking ox house? So you see, as far as the wordsmithing also, you can then go with it in different directions. You can go into the satire, as I started to do there, or kind of, you know, making light of it. Or you can go into really study it and look up, spend the time to really find out what is actually being said and why those choices were made and what influence that had on the consciousness, the way the whole naming of the U.S. states and cities has had a huge effect. You know, the original names of the native peoples have been glossed over with New York, New Jersey, New London, New England. It's all brand spanking new, but it's not. That's a lie. It's a veneer. So these words and the word smithing is, you know, I think is both playful and deeply reflecting the language and the consciousness. My new favorite word is cacistocracy, which was coined in 1829 by Thomas Love Peacock on an analogy of its opposite, aristocracy, from the Greek kakistos, the worst, superlative of kakos, bad, from kaka, to defecate. And it comes from, in ancient Greek was kakonomia, a bad system of laws and government. So a kakistocracy is government by the worst element of society, which is almost redundant. Government by the worst element of society. So this the vernacular, the common phrase which you may have heard for years now, is called the shit show. So now you see you can either go street talk and say what's going on with the shit show, or you can sound erudite and say I'm perturbed by the kakistocracy. Or what the F is happening with the shit show nowadays? Did you read this in the news? Or, oh gosh, I can't believe the injustices of the kakistocracy. So you get a flavor for this is kind of pound. A lot of times working on a poem or something, it's really just black. For me, it's blacksmithing and pounding on it and seeing which way it want to go. Do I want to go erudite? Do I want to go vernacular? And it's kind of letting the piece speak for itself. There's also a Yiddish phrase that relates to kakistocracy, out the cocker, which is sort of like old guy or old fart, but there you have the cock in a more respectable, playful way. You could consider it like an old fart. And add to that, my fascination with indigenous people's languages is that they reflect the natural world and the earth. Sometimes they say the language actually comes from the earth itself and the animals. And when you think about the Inuit, Alaskan, native peoples up north, and other cultures have umpteen words for snow, In Japanese, the umpteen words for cherry blossoms. So whatever, wherever one's region is, the language, the wordsmithing has to do with literally shaping from the shapes of the earth and that the natural world make. And to leave it on a enlightening erudite note, along with this wordsmithing, a lot of times there is the question. My favorite story in this department is, having heard this story a while ago, was an Inuit carver, people up north, the Inuits like carving some kind of bone or something, and getting the piece, whatever the material was, say a whale bone or something, in his hand and saying, starting to carve, instead of deciding what to carve. Like, I'm gonna carve a seal. Instead, he starts carving and repeating a kind of mantra. What is it? 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 Ah, it's a polar bear. So this ties in with the wordsmithing. It's allowing your own sense to help shape the writing, but also to let the writing shape you and to let it guide you as to where it's going, and let it reveal itself unto you. So thanks for listening, and be well.